the lost art in Christianity, fasting. Right? And so as I'm looking and preparing this week on fasting, you know, there's not a lot of stuff out there on fasting. You'd be surprised. It's actually kind of hard to find stuff on fasting. And I got to digging into it, and a lot of it is because, well, nobody does it anymore. Another reason they don't do it anymore is because the NIV and the ESV Bibles and those Bibles, they've taken it out. You know, they've taken those verses out. And so, you know, I gave you that sheet. If you got the sheet, that's just kind of to take home with you and kind of do more of a study. It's got a whole list of verses on there that you can go up and study up on fasting. But I'm going to give you some other verses, and we just don't have time to turn to all the verses, so that'll get you a good study and fasting, and fasting and prayer, right? Fasting and prayer. The Bible says a lot of times prayer is not going to cut it. You got to have prayer and fasting, right? Got to have prayer and fasting. So we're going to look at fasting here today, and we'll start here in Isaiah 58. But like I said, we're going to be moving about in different Bible verses. So Isaiah 58, starting here in verse number 1. Says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice, they take delight in approaching the God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul, and draw and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And I do come to you again now in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you give me your strength and your power, and you fill me with your Spirit here today, Lord. I pray you'll give me your clarity of thoughts, your guidance, your wisdom here as we look at this subject on fasting, Lord, and you just have your will and way here today, and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, God can do the impossible, but He wants us to be doing our part as well. And our part in this is prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's what we've been studying about the last several weeks, and we've been studying about prayer, and we've looked at some hindrances to prayer and how sin can hinder our prayer life, and we looked at many ways to be walking as that righteous man free of sin, and to confess our sins, and to make sure that our prayers are going up, that our prayers are being heard, and that more importantly, that our prayers are being answered. And if our prayers are not being answered, we need to find out why. Why are my prayers
not being answered? What are the hindrances of my prayer life? And some of these things are so basic. Some of these things are so simple, but yet we just got to remember those. Right? There are many people, and even some people within our church today, that are afflicted with things in this world. And why? Because they've quit reading their Bible. Okay, they've quit reading their Bible. They turned from the truth. They've quit reading their Bible, and then they quit praying. Okay, and then they quit coming to church. And so they've left the safety net of everything, the will of God, the comfort hand of God. They left that there, and the first step was just quit reading the Bible. Quit reading the Bible, quit praying, quit coming to church, and now I'm just standing here, and the devil and the world can just throw darts at me all day long, and I don't have any protection. Why? Because I've left the safety net, I've left the comforts, the safety of the Lord by not reading my Bible, by not praying, by not church. And again, these are basic things. These are simple things. You see, whenever I'm going to church, whenever I'm reading my Bible, whenever I'm praying, right, I'm in the center of God's will. He's got me protected. Whatever the devil throws at me, I'm protected. Right? Now, some of those things are going to come at me. The Lord's going to allow some of those afflictions, some of those fiery darts to come through, but I'm in the Lord's will. Right? I'm in the Lord's will, but when I'm out there, hey, I have no protection. And that's just some of the things that hopefully we've got, that we've learned over the last several weeks with prayer and walking a righteous life and living a righteous life. And that first step of being a righteous man is what? Being a saved person. You've got to be saved first before the Lord's even going to hear our prayers. But we've been dealing with that. We've been talking about that. And you know, as we study prayer, sometimes the answers to our prayer is going to require more. It's going to require fasting. Okay? Fasting. Prayer and fasting. See, whenever fasting is mentioned in the Bible, it is also associated with prayer. They go together. They go together. And what biblical fasting is, it's abstinence from food and other pleasures in order to concentrate on a spiritual problem, a spiritual concern, or a need in your life. And it's always done in confession of sin and prayer. Okay? And fasting is more than just disciplining our flesh to not eat a meal. Okay? It's more than just not eating a meal. It is taking our focus away from our physical bodies, our physical appetites, so that we can concentrate totally and fully and be just totally in tune with God. Now, for most Christians, this is a neglected thing. For most Christians, most Christianity, fasting is not even, it's neglected. It's not done. Even though fasting has great power. There is great power behind fasting. Fasting has the ability to take our prayer life up a notch. It has the ability to weaken our flesh, to put our flesh down, to put our flesh to the side. And whatever strengthens my spirit is going to weaken my flesh. So if my spirit is strengthened, whatever I do through fasting and praying, then my carnal nature is going to be weakened as well. The more spiritual I become, the less fleshly I become, the less worldly I become. And so instead of when these fiery darts come at us, when these trials come at us, instead of complaining, instead of worrying, instead of doubting the Lord, He is all-powerful. We all agree that, right? He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He knows. He's all-powerful. But instead of complaining and doubting the Lord, why not pray and fast and seek the Lord and seek His will? So let me ask, do we fast? Do you fast? Do we biblically fast? Yes. This question involves an evaluation of our lives. It's personal, right? It's a personal thing. But we shouldn't avoid the question, right? We shouldn't move on to the next point or the next subject, right? We should evaluate the question, evaluate ourselves, evaluate what does the Word of God say on this topic, and that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to look at this topic, and we're just going to see what God's Word says about biblical fasting And so let me give you some truths here tonight. Number one, I want you to see what fasting is not. What fasting is not. It's not a physical discipline. It's not a physical discipline in the way that God never tells people to fast as a physical discipline such as dieting. Right? He doesn't tell us to fast for physical benefit. Okay? I'm not saying dieting is wrong. I'm not saying that. But the Bible never tells us to fast for that reason. You see, when the Bible uses the term fasting or fast, it has spiritual goals in mind. Something way different than a Weight Watchers or a low-carb diet or whatever the latest fad diet is, right? God has a higher purpose for you and a higher purpose in mind when we're talking about fasting. So it's not a physical discipline, and it's also not a manipulative tool. It's not a manipulative tool. And sometimes fasting can be viewed as an attempt to win God. Right? The Pharisees tried that, and we'll look at some of that in the Bible. Oh, look at me. I'm fasting. Look at me. Look how good I am. But let me tell you, God does not respond to people in that type of a manner. If you turn over to Acts chapter 23, and look at starting in verse number 12, there's a group of people here in the book of Acts who tried to get God on their side by doing a manipulative type of a fast here. In Acts chapter 23, starting in verse 12, right, there's a group of people that wanted to try to kill Paul. It says that when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. He calls it a curse, then he calls it a conspiracy. In verse 14, it says, "And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, 'We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul.'" They actually thought that God would be pleased with them by killing Paul. But God did not hear their prayer. God did not answer their prayer. You know, their plan did not work. Amen. But fasting did not get God's attention in this way. Right? We must not think of as a fast, as a hunger strike, we can get God to bend to do what we want Him to do. God is good, period. He's good all the time, and all the time God is good. And He wants to answer our prayers. Right? But number three, I want you to see here, it's not a religious exercise either. It's not a manipulative tool, but it's also not a religious exercise. In Luke 18:12, the Pharisees said, "I fast twice in a week. I fast twice in a week." You see, this Pharisee was practicing religion. He was practicing religion in an attempt to justify himself before God. Hey, look at me. I fast twice in a week. What about you? What about you? Right? Not a religious exercise. Okay? He observed a regular period of fasting, but nowhere in the Bible does the Bible require such a practice. Okay? It's not a ritual. It's not something you do once a week, once a month, or prior to the Lord's Supper, or annually, or whatever the case is. It's not to be a religious exercise. You see, fasting is something that is practiced when there's a special need. A special need arises and when the Holy Spirit leads. So those are just a couple things there on what fasting is not. But secondly, I want you to see here, what is biblical fasting? What is fasting? Turn over to Matthew chapter 6 with me. And we'll see here, what is biblical fasting? In Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 16. In Matthew chapter 6, he starts out here in verse 16. He says, "Moreover, when you fast." You notice that? He doesn't say if you fast or maybe you'll fast or whatever. He says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast." Again, like a religious activity here. They're saying to me, "Look at me, right? I've disfigured my face so that I can look unto the men. They can see me in my fast." It says, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward," in verse 17. "But thou, when thou fastest," again he says, "when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall," look at that, "reward thee openly." He shall reward thee openly. You see, for everybody to see. It's not for everybody to know. That's between you and the Lord. And He makes a promise here about fasting, that He will reward thee openly. And so I'm telling you here, fasting is important. He would not give a promise about rewarding us if fasting was not important. Fasting is important. Okay? And Jesus, He never discouraged proper fasting, but He did condemn the Pharisees, such in this situation, who went about false practices, who went about doing it for wrong reasons, who went about it only for their glory. Again, I mentioned already, but He says, "Moreover, when you fast." Not if you do, but when you do. We should be fasting. Okay, so already we've seen fasting is important. We've seen that He rewards those that fast, and we see here that we should be fasting. Because He says, "Moreover, when you fast." He doesn't say how often we should fast, but He does tell us how to fast. And we must remember to do it exactly how He says. He says, "Do it before God. Do it in secret. Do it without any show. It's not for show. Hey, no one is to see or to know." Now, when we get down to the word "to fast," the fasting, or to the word "fast," the basic meaning of fasting alone means to not eat food. Means to not eat. Okay, the basic definition of it is to not eat. But what does it mean, not eating? Why did the people in the Bible not eat food? So let's turn in your Bibles to Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 16. In Leviticus, chapter 16, we have the Day of Atonement. They're observing the Day of Atonement. And the Bible tells us here, this was a special day. This was a special day of cleansing, a special day of healing, a special day of forgiveness of sins, and it was a day of fasting. Okay? Leviticus 16, look at verse 29. It says, "And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you." Now, this is a special day here. It was a day of fasting. The word "afflict your soul" is synonymous with fasting here. They're to afflict their souls. They are to fast. And this Day of Atonement was to come once a year. Once a year they were to do this. Once a year it was commanded in the Word of God that they would hold this fast. You see, fasting is more than just afflicting your body. It is afflicting your soul. It goes so much more deeper than just afflicting the body, afflicting the flesh, right? It is something that my soul participates in. In Psalm 69:10, the Bible says, "When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach." Right? He chastened his soul with fasting. It's a way that we show God, hey, He knows we need food to live, but it's a way of putting food to the side and showing, hey, my desires, my needs, my wants, it's only secondary to me communing with You. Only secondary to me walking with You. Only secondary to me lifting up my prayers and getting Your ear and getting You to hear my prayer and answer my prayer. Because again, biblical prayer, biblical fasting always goes with prayer. Prayer and fasting. You can pray without fasting, yes. But you cannot fast without praying. You cannot fast without physically praying. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 37, the Bible says, "And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers day and night." This was Anna. And this was Anna's service to God here in Luke chapter 2. Her prayer, her service to God was prayer and fastings, day and night. You see, they go together. They go together. You can pray and not fast, but you cannot fast without praying. Let me give you number 3 here. So why fast? So why should we fast? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, Jeremiah 29, 13 says, "And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." Again, that fasting is showing God we're seeking Him with our whole heart. And we're not nonchalant. We're not just playing games. We're not just saying a quick prayer here. We're really digging in deep. Right, we are seeking Him with all of my heart. We must seek Him with all of our heart. You get that? We must seek Him with all of our heart. And one way we show that, one way we're sincere about that is through fasting. The Lord said that fasting is an essential part in spiritual warfare. Right? If you turn over to Matthew chapter 7, we'll see that. Matthew chapter 17, we'll see that. But hey, we have a whole bunch of spiritual warfare going on right now, don't we? I mean, we got spiritual warfare all over. We have spiritual warfare going on right now within our country. We have it going on in the nation of Israel. We have it going on everywhere. Okay? And Jesus says that fasting is an essential part to that kind of warfare. And if you turn over to Matthew chapter 17, Matthew chapter 17, there we're going to read this account once I get there. All right. Look there at verse number 14. It says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out?" Hey, the disciples, they tried to cast out this devil and this young child, and they couldn't do it. And Jesus comes and he says, "Oh, you of little faith. How long am I going to have to be with you? How long am I going to have to show you?" Right? And so Jesus cast out the devil, the child is healed. And then in verse 20 it says, "And Jesus said unto them, Because of your," what? "Unbelief. Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." In verse 21, he says, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." You get it? Some things in life are going to be required. You're going to have to do some praying and some fasting. The demonic strongholds in life, it's going to require prayer and fasting. Okay? Again, prayer or fasting is that expression of wholeheartedness. Lord, I'm in this. Lord, I'm all in this. It's an expression of faith. Right? Jesus said there that the disciples had little faith. But it could be an expression of faith. My faith in the Lord that He can do this. Over in Joel chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart." You see, that's the problem. So many of us don't turn to Him with all of our hearts. We hold bits and pieces back. We say satellite prayers and we don't want to give Him our whole heart. But over and over again, He says He wants our heart. He wants the whole heart. He says here, turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting. That's in Joel 2:12. You can look at that later. But all of your heart, with fasting, with prayer and fasting, turn to me. Okay. Now we know that God sees the heart of men, right? God sees everything. He sees the heart of man. But sometimes the Bible is going to require open evidence of our heart's desire. And what I mean by that is Abraham. Okay, Abraham and Isaac. We know the story, right? God knew that Abraham was faithful. God knew Abraham was committed. And Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac. He went to kill his son, to sacrifice him. And God knew that Abraham would obey the command. But he required that Abraham go through the act up until the very point that he was about to sacrifice Isaac. Right? He let him go up until that point. Right? Why? He knew his heart. He knew he was faithful. He knew he was doing it. But he had allowed Abraham to go through that. And in Genesis 22, in verse 12, it says, "For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." You see, that faith was put into action. Right? It's one thing to say I have faith. It's one thing to say I worship the Lord. It's one thing to say that I'm faithful. But what is it when my actions say? What is it when I have to put it to action? My words have to go to action. I have to put into play what I've been talking about. Abraham did that here. And now we might say from that, we might say, well, fasting is not necessary since God knows our heart. God sees our heart, but this example of Abraham shows that God does require evidence of that faith. He wants it played out. He wants to see it. And so fasting can be construed in that same way. When we pray and when we fast, we're showing God how dedicated we are. We're showing God how committed we are, and we're showing God how faithful we are. So how do you know when to pray and fast? How do you know when to pray and fast and not just pray? Well, that's a personal question. That's a question between you and the Lord. I cannot answer it. Somebody else cannot answer that. But in God's Word, we always find people that fasted were connected with a troubled heart, a heavy heart, or they had a very anxious heart for the Lord. So why should we fast? To show God that we're seeking Him with all of our heart. All of our heart. It's a physical way of showing God that we are committed. Right? So let me give you a fourth thing here. Let me give you a few principles of fasting. A few principles here. It says in Matthew 6:16 again, he says, "Moreover, when you fast." When you fast. Jesus expects us to fast. Okay, He taught us to fast. He fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, being tempted by the devil. He taught us to fast, and Jesus is our example of fasting. But there was a time when fasting was inappropriate on this earth. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 9, during the time Jesus was on this earth, His disciples walked with Him, and they never fasted. Remember the story? They never fasted, and the religious leaders had a fit with it. Over in Matthew chapter 9, look at verse 14. It says in Matthew 9:14, "Then came to Him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast." Right? Jesus was with them. He's saying, hey, I'm here with them now. They don't need to fast. But there's coming a day real soon that I'm not going to be here. And when that day comes, they're going to need to fast. And now our day here, Jesus is not with us. He's not going to be with us until the rapture, till He comes back, till we go home to be with the Lord. And so He's teaching us over and over again in the Bible that, yes, we need to be fasting. Yes, we need to be fasting. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, there was a day commanded to fast, the Day of Atonement over back in Leviticus 16 that we looked at. That was commanded, the day to fast. But now today, the new covenant, Jesus Christ is that covenant. He is our atonement offering, so we no longer need to observe the Leviticus 16 Day of Atonement. In all the rest of the Bible, there are no other scriptures that command a person when to fast. So when should we fast? When should we fast? Let me tell you, when you believe that the Lord is leading you, when you believe that the Holy Spirit is convicting you, when the Holy Spirit is leading you, that's when you should fast. Fasting is between you and the Lord. Well, how long should I fast? Well, the Bible doesn't give a guidance on that. It doesn't say you need to fast this long. Remember, He said, moreover, when you fast. Okay? That time of fasting is up to you. Daniel fasted for 21 days. We know Esther and Mordecai, they fasted for 3 days, 3 nights, and Jesus fasted for 40 days in the wilderness. And He's left some freedom here on durations to fast. You can fast one meal, you can fast two meals, you can fast 1 day, 2 days, whatever the case might be, according to the Lord's will for you. But remember, He says, when you fast. And as just a reminder, as we're going through this, the same rules apply. Right, we got to make sure we don't have sin in our life. If there's sin in our life, He's not going to hear us. Okay, just because we're trying to be like the religious leaders were and be all spiritual, no, it doesn't matter. If there's sin in our heart, He's not going to hear us. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We have the promises, 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we sin, yes, but we have the promise of forgiveness. And the same rules apply in our prayer life as they do in fasting. If we're going to be walking in sin, He's not going to hear us. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So let me give you here the last thing I have for you, the occasion to fast. So when is it appropriate to fast? Now the Bible does give some examples of when people fasted, and I'm just going to give you a couple of those here tonight. A lot of those are on that sheet that I gave you, so you can go back and look at those different men that fasted under different times. But one of the things that we'll look at here is occasion to fast is for a mourning of a death. Right? When someone in the Bible was mourning a death, they would often fast. If you could turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 31, real quick here. 1 Samuel chapter 31. 1 Samuel chapter 31. So Saul had just died. Saul was killed in battle. Here in 1 Samuel chapter 31, look there in verse 11, or verse number 12. Verse 12 says, all the valiant men rose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted seven days. And so it's appropriate here in the Bible when someone died that they would mourn. When someone died, they would fast. But also in repentance of sin, in confession of sin, we see that in Jonah chapter 3, in verse number 5, the people in Nineveh heard Jonah preaching and they repented. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 5 says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. So the whole nation fasted. They turned to the Lord, and you know the story. The judgment was proclaimed. God was going to destroy Nineveh. And Jonah preached, and they all They all believed God. They turned from their unbelief, and so they repented of their sin. They were in confession, so that would be another example of when to pray or fast. Another one would be for protections. There are different times in the Bible that people fasted for protection. Ezra was one of them in Ezra chapter 8. So that proclaimed a fast that we might humble ourselves before God to seek Him, to seek from Him a straight way for ourselves, our children, and all our supplies there in Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 and 23. And also another example would be finding God's will. If you're seeking God's will, prayer and fasting. Seeking God's will. And there's many examples of that in the Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the whole chapter, there were three nations that were coming against Judah to destroy them. And King Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, proclaimed a fast for the whole nation. And in verse number 3 there in 2 Chronicles 20, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And the Lord fought the battle for him. And they were victorious in that battle. So fasting, right? There's a whole lot more to fasting. There's a whole lot more to fasting. And so I ask you a question. Do you fast? Do you fast? The Bible tells us we should be fasting. Moreover, when you fast, Jesus tells us to fast. So if you take those sheets and you pray about it, and you decide, hey, fasting is something that I want to take up. Just let me give you a couple guidelines for fasting, and there's many more. But it needs to be a conviction between you and the Lord. Number one, a conviction between you and the Lord through Bible study, through prayer. And guidance through Him to lead you, because we're not doing it for man. It's not a show. It's between you and the Lord. And secondly, you need to make sure you're medically, physical, able to fast, all right, before you're attempting to do this, okay? And so some people may start out very slow, one meal, fasting for one meal, but it's important if you do fast, when you do fast, that fast is associated with prayer. It's associated with, well, I'm just going to skip breakfast this morning and I'm going to go to work and do all my other things. No, it's setting time aside for prayer, for confession of sin, for seeking the Lord, okay? And that goes hand in hand with that. And once you do break a fast, make sure you come back lightly, eat a light meal, to get back into the swing of things and the right motives. Again, I said that. Prayer. And keep checking your motives. Keep making sure it's not a physical thing between you and man. This is solely between you and the Lord. Fasting. There's a whole lot to it. Prayer and fasting. Moreover, when you fast. Let's pray.